Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, David Giardino, and I'm joined today by Brandon Ganasty.
What's up?
All right, we're not going to spend too much time on this, but we're recording this on Sunday, and last night, the Lakers just 20-piece the Nets without LeBron, Anthony Davis, or Kyle Kuzma. For the Nets, James Harden wasn't playing, but Kyrie and Durant were both active. What are your thoughts? What does this mean for a potential finals matchup between the two?
I think that this is very embarrassing, and this really shows the lack of defense on the part of the Nets. You can't play with Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant and get 20-pieced by a Lakers team whose best player right now is Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah. I think that the biggest problem with that game, because I did catch a little bit of it, was really Andre Drummond and his physicality kind of dominated the Nets.
They just don't have any centers.
Which is scary. Yeah. I think we both said when they made the Blake and Aldridge signings that it really didn't fix any of their problems, because that's their biggest problem was interior defense and rebounding. And that's why I thought they should have went for Drummond instead of Aldridge. Because it just showed last night that, like, physically they're not on the level of the Lakers. I don't want to take this too far, because I still think the Nets are the title favorites right now. But it is concerning to me, especially if AD especially, when he's back in the finals. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems for the Nets.
I think it's also concerning just in the terms of, in the Eastern Conference, you have Joel Embiid, who they probably go against. Mm-hmm. He's maybe and the most Giannis physical guy too. In the league. Giannis, yeah, yep. These are big guys who they can't defend.
Even like a Bam, too.
No, I don't think Bam.
He's not on the level of Embiid and Giannis, but like Bam could give them problems too, just physically. If Drummond gave them problems, Bam is a significantly better player than Drummond.
Yeah, you know, it shows their one glaring, you know, problem.
It's their one hole.
Yeah.
Although I did see that they're hoping Spencer Dinwiddie's going to be back for the playoffs, which is terrifying. I forgot they even had him.
No, I don't think he'll be good even if he comes back. You can't be good same season you tear your ACL.
I don't know, man. Just have same, it.
He wouldn't even be good if he came back.
What do you think about, like, the crazy thing is, like, I still think they're going to win the finals this year. But next year they still have all their guys. That's insane. Does it change your finals prediction at all, this game?
I want to see how they respond for a little while, but if they continue to spiral, yes. If it was just a one-game blip, no.
Yeah, I'm not changing because A, Kyrie got ejected. B, Durant just came back from injury and he looks a little rusty, and we both know that that's not going to last. And C, Harden, who has arguably been their best player this year.
Arguably the MVP,
Arguably the MVP was out. So I'm not going to bet against them yet. I think just they have way too much firepower. I think this might be the most talented team we've seen in NBA history. So I'm still not changing my finals prediction.
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
Let's move on to another thing that happened last night, another game. The Toronto Raptors scored a franchise high 87 points in the first half, ended up in a blowout win, led by Gary Trent's 44 points. Looking back on that trade, what are your thoughts now?
I think my thoughts are that the Raptors easily won the trade. They got a younger player who seems to be more offensively capable. Yeah. And that's all there is to you know? Like, they got Norm a younger Powell's player.
Been playing pretty good. Capable.
Yeah, Powell's been pretty good. Gary Trent Jr. just dropped 44. And he got a game winner the other day, I think.
Yeah.
He's been playing out of his mind.
We said going in, like, after that trade that, like, the Portland probably got the best player in that deal. And now I think that's being thrown into question now. And so then when you think of it that way, when it's like actually an argument who got the best player in that deal, it was really a loss for Portland, I think.
Yeah, no, I
Because
totally agree.
Powell's going to want a lot of money this summer, and Trent is still really young, and I don't know, when the Raptors are finally able to blow it up, I think they're going to be set having Gary Trent as part of that young core.
Yeah, no, I think he's already going to be a big piece for them moving forward. I think the Raptors core is going to be Van Vliet, Gary Trent Jr., Siakam, and Chris
OG
Boucher.
Ananobi. OG
OG OG
Ananobi.
Ananobi as well, yeah. Okay,
That's a solid young core.
tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think OG Ananobi right now has more value than Siakam.
Oh, I think it's close because Siakam's
Contract,
obviously a better player,
but it's contract, you know, he's not worth
but
a
he is
max deal.
making 30 million for the next 4 years, and that's probably to be your second guy or your third guy.
I think he's
I
a third
still think
guy on a
Siakam's
championship
more
team.
valuable.
He's a third
I
guy on a
think he's a
championship
little.
team maximum.
I mean, he was a second guy on a championship team.
No, he was easily the third guy with Kawhi.
Not.
I think
Lowry
he was
was not
on
the
e
second guy.
Lowry was easily. I think it was between, for the third guy, it was between Van Vliet and Siakam, and it was depending game in, game out.
Yeah, I mean, I think now, and that was with Kawhi having probably one of the best playoff streaks we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I might agree with you that Siakam has to be a third guy on a championship team, and paying your third guy a max is ridiculous. So yeah, maybe Ananobi has more value to the Ra he definitely I think Ananobi has more value to the Raptors, because I think they'll get him on a bargain of a contract eventually. And he's like the kind of the perfect 3 and D, can guard 1 through 4 and a couple fives too. So yeah, maybe, but I don't know. I think the Raptors might be in good hands when they finally decide to blow it up, which is not something we have said previously. One more thing I want to touch on for last night, before we go into the MVP race, which is going to be the main topic of this show, is Enes Kanter then 24 points and 30 rebounds. He becomes the third player in NBA history, behind Kevin Love and Dwight Howard, to have a 30 rebound game. What do you just like overall thoughts of this Portland team, and what do you think Enes Kanter can add to a playoff team?
Jeez, man, wow, what a game. I don't think he'll add. Well, okay, here's what I will say. I think that Enes Kanter has the best post game in the league right now for a center.
What?
Yes,
Bro,
yes.
Joel Embiid exists, man.
No.
So does Jokic,
Enes
and so
Kanter,
does his,
you
like.
give him the ball, that's a guaranteed
Sheesh.
bucket right there against any center.
Oh
I
my
saw it last year when he
God.
was in the Celtics. I saw him do it against Embiid. I saw him do it against every best center in the league. Whenever you need a bucket and the play breaks down, give him the ball in the post, and that's a bucket right there.
Best in the league,
I
man.
think he has
Best
the
post
best post
player
game
in
in the
the
league. Yeah.
league. Jeez,
Best
I
ISO
don't know
post, not
about
passing
that.
post game, best ISO post game in
Oh.
the league.
All right.
And he's not the best rebounder in my opinion, but he's one of them.
I think he's the best offensive rebounder in the league. He
Maybe he is,
averages
but
over 4 offensive rebounds a game. That's
I think
insane.
we sleep on him so much just because the game is moving away from that style of play. But he's such a good player. I think in the 90s he would be an all-star, honestly.
Yeah, I really like him. What are your thoughts on just like Portland in general? I
Don't think they're
don't
going
know.
anywhere. I think
Going
they're
into the
out
year,
first
they were
round.
my. Really?
Yeah, I think they're a
You
first
think they're
rounder.
out first round?
Well, who
Going
are they
into
going
the
to play? The
year, they were
Clippers?
my.
I think the
Well,
Clippers
okay,
have them in the
well,
first round.
yeah, going into the year, they were my sleeper team, and because I thought. Like I really liked the Covington signing, and I liked Gary Trent, but now he's gone. And I still like Norm Powell on that team. And I thought Dame is playing at an MVP level, but I don't know if I think they would give Denver a tough run in the first round.
If they
If
play
they
Denver?
I'm assuming they jump Los Angeles.
Okay, I'll say this. If they play Denver first round, I'm taking Portland just because I don't think Denver can keep up with them. they've played well with Aaron Gordon so far, but I think soon they're going to start to get exposed again for how slow they are defensively. Hmm. And I think that Enes Kanter against Jokic is a very favorable matchup for Enes Kanter.
Actually, I take back what I was saying. Denver's on an 8-game winning streak right now. No, I think Aaron Gordon...
They're going to get exposed.
I don't think they are. I'm calling it right now. They're going to get exposed, man. No, man. He's filling that Jeremy Grant role perfectly and adding more. I think that that team is going to be dangerous. I take back what I said. Portland might be a first-round exit. But if you look at the West, man, there is not going to be a sweep in the first round. I can guarantee that.
Let's hear the matchups.
So right now it would be Utah, assuming like the play-in games are like the current seven and eight seed are the ones that make it, which I think they probably will. So it would be Utah, Memphis, which would be, I think, an interesting series, especially if Jaren Jackson comes back.
No, I think that's a sweep.
I don't think that's a sweep.
I think that's a sweep.
No way. I don't think that's a sweep.
In my opinion, that's a sweep. I guess we will agree to disagree.
All right. Possible 8 seeds, Memphis, San Antonio, Golden State, all sweeps?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, I think Golden State wouldn't be a sweep. I don't think Golden State and San Antonio would be a sweep just because of the greatness of Popovich and Curry. But I think Memphis doesn't have that level of greatness yet, so I think that's a
sweep. Really? I think the Jazz have an off game, then a team can steal a game because they rely so much on shooting.
But they're a historically efficient offense.
All right, that's fine. Dallas, Phoenix.
I'll give that to Phoenix in...
I'm saying six.
Six, yeah. I think Doncic is enough to give you 2 games.
We saw it last year. He gave the Clippers work. Although I do think Dallas is going to move up. I think the Lakers might drop to 7. Oof. And Portland and Dallas will move up.
That'll make Dallas for a pretty fun playoffs.
Yeah, and well, that means the Lakers are in the playing game too. And if the Lakers drop to 7, it might be a first round exit for Phoenix, I believe. I don't think I think with a healthy AD and Bron, they're still definitely the favorites to come out of the West.
Yeah, I don't think favorites to come out of the West. I'll just tell you, man, I'm pulling for a Clippers-Lakers matchup. I need to see a Clippers-Lakers matchup.
I know. We've been waiting too long. I don't really care when it is. I just want it to happen.
Yeah, I know. I would take it first round, second round, or third round.
Speaking of the Clippers, Clippers-Portland.
I'm taking Clippers, man. Clippers are my favorite to come out of the West this year now that they have Rondo. That's big.
Okay. I'm going to take the Clippers in like 6. Denver-Los Angeles. Denver-Lakers.
You got to go Lakers, man. You got to go Lakers.
I'm going to say 6, though.
No.
I really like the Denver team.
No, Lakers in 5, man. As much as Denver got better, Lakers equally got better when all of their players are healthy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is assuming full health.
I don't think we ever discussed this. Is Schroeder an upgrade over Rondo?
He hasn't been playing like it.
I think he actually has been playing like that, dropping a solid 20 points a game. Somewhere around.
Not really. Yeah. I don't know. He hasn't been playing that much better than Rondo did in the playoffs. Schroeder is averaging 15 a game this year, which is good.
I think he's been better. At least regular season, he's been way better than Rondo was last year.
Yeah, but that the Lakers really couldn't care less about regular season.
I think I'll agree with you, seeing as they're at 7th in the West now, but or presumably they'll probably be
around there. Yeah. I mean, although AD does come back in a couple weeks, so that'll be nice. But I definitely see Dallas jumping them because Dallas has a very, very easy second half of the year.
Porzingis has been picking it up lately.
Yeah, that duo just needs to click. We're just waiting for that duo to click. I think they will.
I think Porzingis' window is done. I think he'll still be a good player, but I don't think he'll ever achieve the level that he was at before his ACL injury.
I would agree with you. I think he'll still be a star. I don't think he'll ever reach superstardom, though.
But it looked like he was in contention for best player. It looked like he could have been an MVP before he went down that final season.
Yeah, like Knicks. Yeah, Knicks him would. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think. And let's. Do you want to look at the East real quick?
Yeah,
East
sure. Matchups? Let's check it out.
1-8 would be New York, Philadelphia, which would be pretty interesting. I think Philly wins that in five, but
I'm taking Philly in four. I think that's a sweep.
Yeah. I'm just happy New York is going to probably be back in the playoffs.
Good for the league.
It's really good for the league. Brooklyn, Boston.
Oh, I'm taking Brooklyn in five.
Bring out the brooms.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. Five. Absolutely. Okay. I think JT and JB can get you a game, but I don't think much more than that. Miami, Milwaukee, round one.
I think Milwaukee comes out possessed this series.
Really? I'm taking Miami, man.
What? Are you serious?
If Miami is going to be Milwaukee's kryptonite for as long as Giannis is on that team.
No. I'm taking Milwaukee in six because I think the Bucks will come out possessed.
Although I will say, I think I don't think that matchup's going to happen because Charlotte is currently the four seed.
Mm-hmm. I think
and they're gonna fall off. I wouldn't be surprised if they fell all the way to seven or eight.
Another team that I think is going to fall down, I think the Hawks can't sustain this level that they're currently playing at.
They're not even playing super great right now. They're only 6-4 in their last 10. I think they'll stay in that 4-5 area. Maybe they'll drop to 6. Maybe Boston, Miami will leap them. But they'll stay above Charlotte.
I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see a Boston-Miami rematch. I think that was a fun series.
I think that would be a great series. I think most of these East series are going to be great. Like, I just think the playoffs this year are going to be incredible, man. Like, no matter which, like, both conferences and even the finals this year is going to be incredible because I fully think there are four teams, I think, that can win the finals this year. I think Philly, Brooklyn, and the two LA teams can realistically win the finals this year.
I'm pulling for Milwaukee. I really want Milwaukee to win.
I really do, too. I don't think they got...
They got a lot better this year, though.
They got better. No. They got better. I don't think they got, like, enough. I don't know. I don't think they improved enough.
They essentially switched out
Philly or Brooklyn.
But they were a number one seed last year. They were a number one seed last year that essentially switched out Eric Bledsoe for Drew Holiday, who's been averaging like 25
games. Drew Holiday's played great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew Holiday, I said it when they acquired him. They just gave him a bag, too. They just gave him a lot of money, but they were kind of forced to.
And I think this gives their offense a lot more versatility now than they've had before in years past.
Yeah, I mean, Bledsoe was a notoriously terrible postseason player. And this year they have a good bench, too, which they didn't have before. You know, like they have Pat Connaughton, DJ Augustine, Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes.
I'll tell you who I was wrong, bench. I was wrong about that white guy.
DiVincenzo?
Yeah.
I know. You called him trash. I told you, man. He's not bad.
I'll say this. I'll say he improved his shooting
his role.
A lot more.
His role really, really well.
He has improved his shooting meteorically this year.
That's not a word, man.
Meteorically? That absolutely
meteorically is not a word.
Meteorically? That is
meteoric.
Meteoric Cali. Meteorically.
Nah,
it's totally a word.
It is. Wow, it is a word. Okay, we learn things on the Hurry Up podcast. We learn new things every day on the Hurry Up pod. All right, let's move to the MVP race because with Joel Embiid coming back and dropping 35 on your Celtics, he has to still be in the conversation.
I don't think that.
Give me your top five right now.
Okay, my top five. Do I have to come up with an order?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, James Harden.
Really?
I think he's still there, man. I think he hasn't been injured nearly as long as the other players. Number one, James Harden. Number two, Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Embiid. Number four. I don't know. I think there are really three main competitors. I don't think there's a top five.
I think... All right, so here's my five.
Okay.
One, I have Jokic right now, but if Embiid finishes the season with these averages, I'm going to have him. So I got Jokic, then Embiid, then Harden, and then I have Damian Lillard as my four and Chris Paul as my five.
You can't... No.
Chris Paul, absolutely... Chuck was right. Chris Paul deserves some MVP nods.
No.
He's not going to win it, but he absolutely deserves to be in the conversation.
MVP is just as much about individual stats as it is about team winning. Look at recent years.
Yeah, but his individual stats are pretty good, too.
I think
he deserves consideration.
Oh, my God. What it's taken in previous years to win MVP is you have to be the best player on the one seed.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it. I just think he deserves to be in the conversation.
If you're not going to win it, you don't deserve to be in the conversation.
He's averaging 16-9 on the second best team in the West.
That would be shameful if people gave him MVP nods. That would be
shambolic. I think he gets MVP nods.
I think he's a good player.
Okay.
He got all-star nods. I think that's it. It's about it.
So, all right, so your threes between Harden, Embiid, and Jokic.
Yeah, and I don't think Jokic is going to win it. I think it's between Harden and Embiid.
I think if they finish as a top three seed, I think Jokic is going to win it. Because he's averaging 26-11-9 with 1.5 steals.
And those are great numbers, but he's sort of the MVP by default because the other two have been injured for so long.
I don't think Embiid's missed enough games.
I think he missed a lot of games.
He missed 18 games.
That's a lot.
I don't know. Embiid finishes the year averaging 29 and 11 while playing like a defensive, like, look, the 76ers have one of the best defenses in the league, and obviously Ben Simmons is a lot to do with that. He is probably second in the MVP voting, second in the Defensive Player of the Year voting for me right now behind Gobert. But you do have to guard on the perimeter and in the paint. And Embiid is playing almost at an all defensive level too. So if you combine that with 29-11 on the best team in the East, I don't see how he doesn't win MVP.
I don't know about Defensive Player of the Year for Simmons, but I'll say this. I think he's been a lot better this year than he was last year.
A lot more aggressive this year. Mm-hmm. And I think Daryl Morey deserves a lot of credit for this because Doc Rivers deserves credit, but Morey deserves credit for assembling a roster that actually makes sense around him. Like, Seth Curry has been a great addition. Danny Green has been a solid addition. They just have shooting now. And Tyrese Maxey was a good draft. Dwight Howard has actually played really well this year.
Everybody was saying for so long that the one thing the 76ers need was shooting around them. They need shooting. It brings up how incompetent was the previous GM to not get them shooting?
I don't know, man.
Everybody knew that they needed this. It's not like this is rocket science.
Yeah, like, the giving Al Horford all that money.
Terrible.
Like,
what they wanted to
Jimmy
do was
Butler
they wanted to lure him
no,
away from Boston.
Jimmy Butler is no shooter. But he fit on that team perfectly. They had J.J. Redick, man. J.J. Redick is one of the best shooters in the league.
I think J.J. Redick is a little overrated, but maybe that's just me saying that because he's older now.
I think he's having a slump this year. But though, when he was in Philly, man, him and Embiid, their two-man game, when you look at offensive rating, was the best in the league. When they ran their two-man game, they had that was the best offense in the entire league.
I think J.J. Redick is too much of a liability at defense to really...
Maybe he's becoming that, but not when he was on Philly.
He was absolutely a liability on defense in Philly. Back in the lineup that first year with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris... And he was in the starting lineup. He was that dude that you would go out in defense. You couldn't go out anywhere.
Yeah, but they could have accounted for that. Like they could have played around that because his value on offense was good enough.
Maybe.
And I think they found somebody that can do that in Seth Curry this year. I don't know. I think this Philly team is very dangerous in the playoffs.
No, I agree, and I think it's because of Seth Curry. I think he is too dangerous.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's only gonna get. I don't think he's gonna fall in the playoffs. And as much crap that Danny Green got last year,
he's been great. I was telling everybody this. I was saying, bring him to the Celtics. Nobody else
notoriously,
wanted him on the Celtics.
He is a good playoff player. He just had a bad playoffs last year.
He was great on the Raptors
when he was in San Antonio and in Toronto. He had good playoff runs.
I was selling this to everybody. I was saying bring him to the Celtics, and nobody wanted to bring him.
I'm totally with you, man.
He would have been a great fit on the Celtics.
Hey, they're going to see in the playoffs. I think it's going to be a Philly-Brooklyn Eastern Conference Finals.
I think that'll be
that's going to go to seven games. I think it's going to go to seven.
Embiid is the one. He's like the kryptonite, you know?
He is dominant. He is flat out dominant. There is nobody in the league right now that can guard him.
And I'm not going to say that I enjoy watching the way that he plays because he's a little too much flopping for my taste.
Mm.
But he's right now.
He's just, he's, you can't argue with like his dominance.
You can't argue with
and
it.
He's like,
it's a little annoying though. I'll say that. Oh my God. Playoff Trae Young is going to be so annoying. Hopefully the refs let teams play.
Yeah.
Because if we see Trae Young getting 20 free throws a game, bad for the
I hate that. Look, I'm all for players trying to find little competitive advantages. Like when D Wade started doing the pump fake rip through, and when Chris Paul used to do it, that was good because that was like a revolutionary thing. And a player's job is to find holes in the rules and exploit them.
What they're doing,
but the league has to adapt to that at some point. The league has to adapt to that at some point.
Too many players are doing it now.
And you know what I'm liking about Embiid this year more? Is he's not shooting as many threes as he did last year. It's like a little bit less. He cut it down by like a whole attempt, and he's shooting more efficiently on them. But he's incorporating a mid-range. He's getting post touches. He's just dominant, man. Like, remember last year in the playoffs when we were just like, we've been saying when talking about Embiid, like, he is probably the most skilled big in the league. And the most skilled big we've seen in a really long time. The problem was he didn't have that killer instinct. And this year, he looks like he has that killer instinct night in and night out, and he's just going to go and dominate people.
Yeah, you know, credit to Doc Rivers. I don't know how much of this is how much of this praise is deserving to Embiid himself, or how much is deserving to Doc Rivers for setting Embiid up for this success.
I mean, yeah, Doc deserves credit, but then at the end of the day, he does have to go out and do it every night.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
Ugh. And you remember last year when I was talking about them firing Brett Brown? It was the best move they could have made.
He was not a great coach looking
back. He was not a good coach, man.
He was a good rebuilding coach, you know?
He was a great rebuilding coach, but they're not rebuilding anymore. Mm-hmm. All
right. How long do you think the 76ers window will be open?
I think another guy we haven't given credit to is Tobias Harris. He's played really well this year. I think he's probably, you know, with Mike Conley getting an all-star nod this year, he might be the best player we've seen that has never been an all-star.
Not in history, just this year.
I don't know, man. What other players are like better than him that have never been all-stars? Because he's been a 20-point-per-game scorer for a very long time.
I mean, yeah, that's one to think on. But I can give you individual years that there have been better players, but I don't know about for this prolonged stretch of time.
Yeah, I think he's like had the best career without an all-star appearance. And this year he could have easily gotten some all-star votes. He's averaging like 21-7. Like, good efficiency, too, which is not something
we've seen from him in the past. I don't think he was the best player this year who didn't get an all-star vote. Like, look at...
No, absolutely not. That's hands down DeMar DeRozan, but...
DeRozan and also on the Kings, you know? De'Aaron Fox, yeah.
Fox has had an incredible year, and he needs to be talked about a lot more, and that'll be a subject for a different pod, but, like, I do have a lot of thoughts on him and why... I don't understand how he isn't in the same conversation as, like...
Tatum when
people
and Mitchell.
Talk about John Morant. Or, no, like, John Morant and Trae Young. I think he's just as good as those two. But, yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
Random. What do you think
Markelle
Fultz is going to look like once he comes back next year?
I think he's going to be an above-average starter. I think that's his ceiling. I don't think he'll be an all-star, but I think he's going to be... I like the young core that the Magic have right now, especially if they can figure out the whole... If Mo Bamba
they need to get him going, man. He had so much potential.
Have they given? I think they might have given up on him.
Mm.
But yeah, I think I like the young core the Magic have. I don't think he'll be an all-star ever. But he looked really good to start the year, and I just want him to succeed, man. Because I don't know what happened to him, and then he got hurt, I really think if he was healthy his entire career, he could have become an all-star again.
He looked great even in the summer league, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing we need back this year. We need summer league back.
Yeah, it's been pretty apparent, the lack of summer league in preseason. But to answer your question about the Sixers, Embiid and Simmons are still young. Tobias Harris is only 28. Matisse Thybulle is actually coming into his own a little bit this year.
No.
No, I don't think he'll ever be, you know,
his
great.
His ceiling
but
is a
He's already... No, he's better than that. He's no, defensively... No. Defensively?
Defensively, he's great.
He is... If he played the same number of minutes as Shake Milton or as Ben Simmons...
Shake Milton is so much better. What are you talking about?
I think Shake Milton's better, but I think Matisse Thybulle could turn into an all-defensive first-team player. I don't remember... I saw stats the other day to back that up. I don't have them with me, but, like, he is an incredible defender, and so... He'll move in, especially all he needs to do is learn how to be a spot up shooter. And then they don't even need him to create. And I think that this, I don't know. I think this team can be a contender for 3 to 5 more years.
I'd say closer to 5, maybe even a little bit more than that, but.
Yeah. Point being, they're going to be contenders for a while, because especially. If they become like the thing about, and we're seeing it with the Lakers, I think they can become that team that like free agents are like, oh, these guys are good. They just need one more piece, and they can, like, they'll just stop in on one of your rentals. I think they can like fill out that bench easily. And shout out Paul Reed, dude has been playing incredible. Had a really good G League run. And looks really good on the in the few minutes he's gotten for the Sixers too. So I think he's on the come up too. He's only a rookie.
And Maxey,
Maxey is great. I don't think they need to make any big changes in the next 5 years, and they'll be good. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at @TheOfficialHurryUp, where we post daily content about the NBA. You should also check out our website, TheHurryUp.com, where we post more in depth content about the NBA as well. Go follow us on Twitter at @_TheHurryUp, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis, and on TikTok at @TheHurryUp as well. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NBA segments. Every Monday, our NFL segment, which comes out Wednesday, more bonus content on the weekends, including an interview with Davion Mitchell. Thanks again. See you guys next week. I just had to include the Davion Mitchell thing.